Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Good morning. Welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And as I promised last week, that no matter where I'm at this Sunday, I continue a message or a message. I'm in beautiful Meadowview, Virginia. I'm on the front porch with my sister Judy. Hey, Judy. But anyway, this little backdrop of the hay fields and all. But I hope this audio is coming in fine because I didn't bring the regular microphone, so I'm using my Bluetooth and also keep that in thought and prayer. Said I'm using my phone, so I can't see if I'm getting any feedback, negative or positive. But needless to say, we'll continue to do this. Now, many of you know that I'll put this on YouTube afterwards. It may be a day or two before it goes on our YouTube channel. But needless to say, we'll continue the Word of God. We're going to invite it, and we want to uplift and our prayer requests and praise items. Little Jackson, my grandnephew, he's doing a lot better, and I hope that you're doing better also, and your prayers and your illnesses and all. Continue to pray for our leadership. It seems like they need prayers every day, which we are to pray for them. I'm using a stool that my dad made for his mother-in-law, which is my mom's mom, which is my grandmother, Moore, and he made this a long, long time ago for her, so I thought it was a little treat just to use it as a pulpit, and also the chop block, the dough board, if you will, is also for my grandma, Moore. We have had a good visit here so far. Yesterday, went and visited some grave sites in North Carolina on my dad's mom's side, and it's really not sickening, but it's sad that you go to the graveyards where they're buried, but stones are knocked over, hay fields are there, and it was hard to find the stones, but we took pictures just the same and all, but anyway, I got to share this with my two sisters. I got these rods that was given to us, and you can actually walk over graves and all, and when it goes like this, there's a male there. When it goes like this, there's a female buried there, and it was like, they thought it was really funny, but it actually works, believe it or not. But so we had some time there with my sisters and all, and doing that. I'll take this hat off in case it offends anybody. I know it's probably lighting up now, like, oh, anyway, but I did get sunburned a little bit yesterday. So if that's all said and good, I'll check one more time to see if we do have audio. We'll continue that. Daniel chapter 12. We're in lesson 71 in the book of Daniel. And I'm going to try to speak up a little bit louder just in case the background noise is above it. We may have some critters that comes up and listens to us a little bit. But in Daniel chapter 12, and we finished Daniel chapter 11 last lesson, and Daniel chapter 12, the issue here, especially verses 1 through 4, is a connection with a vision that has gone on before. You know, we talked about visions that Daniel has been having. And remember that the final vision of the book of Daniel starts in chapter 10, verse 1, and it goes all the way through to chapter 12, verse 4. And the rest of chapter 12 is just a conclusion of all the issues here. And Daniel chapter 10, verse 14, is the key verse of the vision. It says, Daniel 10, 14 says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people." Now, thy people is Israel, it's not the body of Christ, "in the latter days." And that latter days is the 70th week of Daniel in chapter 9. "For yet the vision is for many days." And the vision is still future from where we are right now. you know, if you think about it, Daniel times of the Gentiles, it has not stopped and will not stop until Lord Jesus Christ comes back out of the heavens, after he cleanses the heaven, come back to the earth, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's future from what we are right now. So the whole bit of the vision of chapter 11 is future, and where we are at focus in Daniel chapter 12 is the times of Jacob's trouble, that it says, especially the 70th week of Daniel. Many of us have been taught since we was knee-high to grasshopper about tribulation period and how God's wrath will pour out on you and how you better do this and you better do that. Well, this is the times that they was telling us when we were small, but it still has nothing to do with us. So the 70th week of Daniel is the last week of the tribulation period, is when the Antichrist signs that covenant with Israel. And he extends it for a seven-year period of time. And at the end, that's when Christ will come back. And Satan is bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Christ established his kingdom for 1,000 years and rules around reign with a rod of iron. And then things go back to the new heaven and new earth after the Satan's taken care of and all that. Which when that happens, that's in another dispensation, the fullness of times. And that's never going to end. That's going to be a good thing. And in the midst of this week that we're talking about is the abomination that maketh desolate stand in the holy place. And that, and they are 3.5 years on that side and 3.5 years on this side. That makes 7 years that we're at. Now, the Antichrist is a man of sin in the first half. In the second half, he's the son of perdition. Okay, this is where he's really going to, you're going to find out who he really is. The man of sin, he's acting like a normal man, making policies and all that stuff, but he's still a man of sin. When the son of perdition comes along, that's when you really find out who his daddy is, who's pushing the buttons there and all. Kind of sounds familiar, don't it? But anyway, there are 1,260 days in each half. And there's a section of 1,290 days, and 30 days is a period of time before the middle is cut off. Now, if you know your timeline, you know, there's a time here when the man of sin has identified himself. He sits on the cherubim, proclaiming himself to be God Almighty. He's assassinated. His body lies in state for 3 days. And the beast that was ascended in the bottomless pit will come out and incarnate him. His spirit goes inside of him, and that Antichrist will rise up as if, whoa. And people will look at him and say, that's Jesus. Because Jesus died in 3 days. You know, 3 days he was buried and rose again and all that stuff. So everything that the Antichrist will be doing during this time period is exactly what Jesus Christ will be doing. So he's a counterfeiter. And people will follow this guy thinking he is the Christ. And that's why if you don't have the Word of God, and they will have the Word of God, it's forever settled. And you can't, and so you can identify what's going on. And at the middle of that week, Satan is cast out of heaven, and he comes down out of heaven. And then the man of sin becomes the son of perdition. And the great tribulation is that second half of that week. So you think 7 years there, 7 years, and half of that week is when all this happens to the son of man. And Satan is cast out of the heavens, and we're going to see that in a few minutes. And then the second half of that week is really where it's going to get hard, especially on the nation of Israel and the world, really. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Now who's thy people? It's Israel. Okay? You're not thy people today. You're members of the body of Christ. I keep telling you this. So when we study the whole Bible, okay, we study the whole Bible. The Bible's our way where you have to rightly divide it to understand who he's talking to. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Now, this is what Lord Jesus Christ calls in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, the Great Tribulation. And then shall be the great tribulation, if you will. He identifies the abomination that Daniel spoke of, standing in the holy place, that's the image of the Antichrist in Revelation 13. The abomination that makes the temple desolate. And that's what Jesus Christ was telling Matthew. When he wrote the book of Matthew, you've got to remember the book of Matthew is about a king in a kingdom that hasn't happened yet. So he's pointing over there when the tribulation period happens, this is what you need to look for. And there's a tremendous persecution. Satan is cast out of heaven. You got to remember, who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. He controls the first heaven, which is the blue skies. He controls where the stars is. That's the second heaven. But the third heaven is where God Almighty is, and there's a sea of glass up there, and you're not going up there. I don't care how many spaceships you think you can get up there. It's not going, okay? So Satan is cast out of heaven, the first and second heaven. That's where he's at. Now, when he is in Revelation chapter 12, go ahead and be getting Revelation chapter 12 because we're going to be going there shortly. He persecutes the woman, Israel, and she flees into the wilderness. That is what Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 is talking about. Israel being delivered during the time of trouble. Now that's a great hope, isn't it? You know, many of us think about being delivered out of times of trouble. Once again, God's promised you that you will not go through that wrath if you're saved today. But you still don't eliminate how man can bring you trouble. You know, evil people out there, and they can bring persecution on you. But in Daniel chapter 11, we saw the career of the Antichrist, the man of sin and son of perdition. Now in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, we see that Israel deliverance during that time. They're going to be delivered, guys. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And at that time is right in the middle of that week, the 70th week, 7 years. Right in the middle is when they're going to be delivered. Look at verse 6 of Daniel chapter 12. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? That's a good question, isn't it? So he says, how long will this vision be before it's over? Verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, it shall be for, now he's going to tell you how long it's going to be, for time, times, and a half. And when he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be what? Finished. Now a time is one. Times is a what? Two more. Okay? Then a half a time is 3.5 years. And that's how you get that 3.5 years on that other side of the 70th year. 3.5 and 3.5 is 7 years. And you get the vision over in the last half of that week. At the time shall Michael stand up. You're talking about the middle week. So if you can picture that, that's what's going on here. Now Daniel chapter 12, verse 1a says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Michael is an angel, archangel, cherubim, if you will, angel, that for thy people is for Israel. Now, I know people carry his little Michael trinkets and all that stuff and say, so he does this, he'll protect you. He don't protect you. You have Jesus Christ inside of you. You have God Almighty inside of you. You don't need Michael for that. Okay? Michael represents the nation of Israel at this time. And you want to understand when he talks about Michael the prince standing up, there's something important you need to get here. Go to Revelation chapter 12. It's important you follow this. Because there's a connection with Daniel here in Daniel chapter 12 to get some comparisons here. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 1 says, And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with sun and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars. That woman is Israel. If you remember about Joseph had a dream, moon, stars, that type of thing. This all has to do with Israel. How many zodiacs are there in like a horoscope? There's 12. There's 12 of those constellations up there, and they refer to the nation Israel. 12 is the number for Israel. Number 2. Verse 2. And she being with child cried, trailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Verse 3. Now this is the devil. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, not the third heaven, the first and second heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, and who would that be? It'd be Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, if you remember what we've talked about before, when Satan used to be called Lucifer, a light barrier, and he directed worship service over the throne of God. He lifted up himself with pride, and when he had fallen down through the firmament and stuff, and when God flooded, his creature changed. So now he's a seven heads and 10 horns. He's a dragon with this. This is very scary. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her son as soon as it was born. Now he comes out, when it says one third, that his tail drew one third of the stars, he's talking about one third of the angelic creation followed him. Okay? So he's up there right now in the stars with the angelic creation. He's controlling that. It's a government up there. And he's got that. But he takes one third of those who come to the earth at this time. He's going after that woman that's being delivered in Revelation chapter 12 that we're talking about. As soon as she is born. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. Now, there will be a rapture of that man-child, and many of us teach that it's 144,000 that be called up with God at the end of the first and a half week, but some people say it's Jesus Christ too, that he's going to be delivered up and all. But I know what people say, if it's Christ, then they don't think about what happened at Calvary, that he died and buried and he's already up there. But this is something that, you know, she brings forth a man-child, and who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up into God and his throne. So there's something going to be called up, someone or some group of people is going to be called up in a middle tribulation. Now we teach, and I believe, that we're pre-trib. This is something that Paul talked about and teaches about. We're taken out of here before that great day, before that tribulation period. That's why I got a verse that says I'm saved from the wrath to come. So that's a pre-trib position. Now this is a mid-trib, where he's taken out 144,000 is going to be taken out. Then there's a post-trib. There's another resurrection over here. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. I still tend to go really, really fast or speak fast. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up into God, his throne. The man-child that rules all nations with a rod of iron is what many of us teach is a remnant of believers, the overcomers, and 7 churches. And it was compared to 144,000, the overcomers. Did he not promise that they would rule and reign over people? I can understand that. But there's also a man that rules with a rod of iron in the kingdom. Okay? And I don't know if you ever thought about this when we talk about the 1,000-year reign and you think that the lion's going to lay down with the kid and all, everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's not. Because Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of David with a rod of iron. Now, if it was all grace and peacefulness, why would you need a rod of iron? Why do you need a rod and iron with your children or a school teacher? To keep them in line. So during that 1,000 years, there are going to be some unruly people in there, mainly Gentiles, in that kingdom age, that really don't want to be there. They really don't want to go up and worship God. So if you break the law during that time, you're cast in the lake. You're cast in the pit. And there's a pit that opens up, bores right down to the center of the earth, and that's where the Antichrist is. So that's not going to be good, but people's going to be straightened up like walking in line. But when that 1,000 years is up, he lets Satan loose, and it says Satan has seized the nations, not the nation Israel. They're saved during that time. Because they endured through that tribulation period. But those other nations are going to say, I ain't following Jesus no more. I'm going with Satan. And there's going to be a group of people, a lot of people, that's going to buy into Satan's thing, and they're going to die and perish and spend the rest of eternity in the lake of fire. So, just to compare that word cult, just for a second, when I told you about, some say 144,000, some say it's Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up in heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So that's that 144,000 going up. But Mark chapter 16:19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So here, you know, Jesus Christ is going up. So I'm not going to argue with you as far as saying it's 144,000, it's Jesus Christ. I just know that when this happens, Daniel says they will, the ones of the true Bible believers that's going through that, going to go through that tribulation period, will understand the times. Okay? We need to understand the times that we live in right now. That it's not the tribulation period. That we're, the Antichrist is not on scene. And I know it seems like it's horrible out there, but you got to remember we live in the times of the Gentiles. And the God of this world is running the system. We as Bible-believing Christian conservatives, constitutionalists, that's what I am, a dispensationalist, we need to understand what's going on so when we make decisions, it's based on what God is doing today, not based on something that's in the future that don't even pertain to us. You don't want to be scared like that. Revelation chapter 2. You're still in Revelation chapter 12. Don't lose that. But Revelation chapter 2, we're talking about the overcomers. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule with a rod of iron, and the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So here are the people, the overcomers, see? And what are they going to do? They're going to rule with them with a rod of iron. You remember when Jesus Christ picked the 12, and he promised them that they were going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So even the apostles are going to be sitting on thrones judging the nation with judging nations. That there's a governmental structure there. Once again, the main theme of your Bible is about authority on a throne over the entire universe. That's a whole reason why you have a Bible. And it's about authority. This is the final authority. Jesus Christ is going to be the final authority. He is the final authority. Satan is a liar from the beginning. He denies this. He knows this. But he denies it, and he can convince you to deny the Word of God. And if I said this once, I said it 1,000 times. When God put Adam in the garden, he was there to dress it and keep it. He was supposed to be prophet, priest, and king. He's supposed to have a dominion over that. Satan comes in, and in the garden you had God's word and Satan's word, and Satan said, you convinced the CD, said you'd be like God. So he showed them the gods out there, that they was his followers, and you had human viewpoint. That introduced human viewpoint. And I've said this once, I'll say it again. You can deny God's word. You can deny Satan's word. That leaves your word. And you can say, my word is more powerful than God's word. And that's what happens to people out here. They lift themselves up with pride, and they just don't want to believe the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Now, the overcomers are called up to the throne of God in the passage in chapter 12, verse 5. And to his throne, to the city where God dwells. And the city at this time is in the heavens. Now, they are raptured up in the middle of the week, mid-trib, just like the some of the folks say, except that it's not the body of Christ. I just shared that with you a while ago. The body of Christ goes up before this time period. The mid-trib rapture is a tribulation remnant, that man-child. It kind of makes sense, don't it? When that takes place, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her. When those guys go up out of there, you remember the 144,000 are going to be on this earth, and there are 12,000 from each tribe, males, that you're not going to be able to hurt. And they're going to be preaching about that Antichrist. They're going to be preaching a gospel of what's going to go on at that time. The good news, and he's saying, hey, you believe what God is doing, and he's going to save this, so flee. And then when those guys go up, the believing remnant of Israel takes off to the wilderness. Because something bad's going to happen to Israel if they stick around there. Verse 7, Revelation 12, 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Michael has to come down into the universe and is fighting Satan. He comes out of the throne room of God into the universe, first and second heaven, and he's fighting Satan there. Verse 8, and prevaileth not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. That's for Satan and his angels. Lose their place in heaven. See, he's coming down, Michael fights with them, and they're cast to the earth is their final resting, or the resting place where they're going to continue to battle, because he lost his place there. In the middle of the week, Michael comes down into the universe with the armies of heaven, rounds up Satan and his cohorts, and their position of rank and authority is taken away from them, and they're forcibly removed and cast to earth, just like I said. And at that point, you and I, as members of the body of Christ, in a mystery program that was kept secret before the world began, that if Satan had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What God is doing in the dispensation of grace, he's forming a body to replace those angelic beings up there that had fallen from Lucifer. Because there's power and principalities, and we've studied this over and over and over, in the heavens. There's a government structure in the heaven, a government structure on earth. And when those Satan angels that followed him falls, there's a void up there. So you and I, as members of the body of Christ, are placed in those rank and authorities up there. That's exciting, guys. And you're not going to be floating around eating, angel food, you know, that type of thing, and all that stuff, and, you know, looking at rainbows and jumping from cloud to cloud. No, you're going to be in rank and authority up there. That's why it's important, not only... when you're saved, you're going to be there. But you need to understand this doctrine and get this body of doctrine and truth inside of you so you know what to do. And once again, the realm of heaven, angelic beings are watching us in the dispensation of grace, how we're conducting ourselves, how we're, you know, you can have fun. I'm not taking that away from you. But how you're going up against the powers and principalities of this world, against Satan. Is he controlling you, or is God controlling you? So that event takes place in the middle of the week. Now, he comes down. Michael comes down. The throne room of God comes in the universe. Also in Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. And that is where these people are called up into. When Christ left this earth, his throne was in the universe. He ascended up into it. And Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, saw that Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens and the universe and the glory of God sitting on the right hand of the majesty of on high, he sees him up there. So Daniel, full of the Holy Ghost, looks up there and there's Jesus Christ on the right hand of God. He sees that clear as day. And that's when Jesus Christ is standing. He's not sitting, he's standing. He's standing to pour out his wrath, judgment on them. But Christ goes back out. And the city ascends back out of the universe. So when Jesus Christ went up, he went up into heavens. That's where he, then he ascends far above all heavens. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. That he's ascended above, far above all heavens. So that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now, far above all heavens, up in the third heaven. And Psalms chapter 2 says, in the tribulation, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That city comes back into the universe in the middle of the tribulation period. At that point is the events that we're dealing with here. So they're not up in that third heaven. It comes out of here. Satan's cast out. The city comes down right here, and that's what we're at right here, and that's what the people see. I believe in the minute when this happens, the Antichrist is going to be on the throne. They're going to be able to look up and see this happening, and they're going to see God Almighty, Jesus Christ, coming down, and they're going to say that's the devil, because he's going to say I'm the Christ. You saw me shot, you saw me resurrected, you saw the wonders I'm doing, and you know what? People's going to believe that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The time element, there is that middle week of that 77 years. Middle week is what's going to happen here. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, heaven, where at? In heaven. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Jesus Christ begins to rule in the kingdom, and he reigns with God Almighty. He has established in the heavens. Not on earth yet, because Satan's God of this world. He hasn't gave that authority up yet. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a what? A short time. So he knows when he got cast out of there, that he's got a short time on earth, because when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ is going to have authority over the heaven and earth. But the heavens are rejoicing now at this time. Right now the heavens are not rejoicing because the prince of power of the air up there. Job says they're unclean. But if you look out right now, it's a beautiful morning out there. There's about a cloud in the sky. And you look up there and you see blue. Well, that's that sea of glass. That's why you can't see. If that sea of glass wasn't there, you'd see where God's sitting right now. That's going to be a wonderful day. But we're going to be up there looking down when this stuff happens. So Satan is down on the earth. And all hell literally is going to break loose here. I mean, he's just going to come. You ain't seen nothing yet. And remember Revelation 6, the fourth rider, whose name is Death and Hell, follows him. And he is the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. Hell belches him up in Revelation 9, and he comes out. And there will be a great tribulation. And that is what's going to be some really, really, really tough time. Now, the remainder of time here, there's a mid-trib rapture of that man-child. There's also a mid-tribulation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one goes up, and there he is. And when this stuff begins to take place, he comes back into the universe, and the earth that inhabits his presence out there in the space, and they begin to react. Just like what I said, I believe when this takes place, the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, is going to look up there and see this stuff taking place. And it's not Star Wars. you know, that type of thing. It's gonna be a light show like you've never seen before. But you're gonna actually, you're not. When I say you, I don't mean literally you. I mean them. They're gonna be able, because you're gonna be up there. They're gonna be able to see everything's going on. They're gonna go like, oh wow, you know, here he comes. Here comes the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 6. Go to Revelation chapter 6. And I've shared this once, I've shared it many times again. When Jesus Christ comes back, he comes back as a man of war. He's coming back as a bearded guy, fire coming out of his head, like Santa, you know, looks like Santa Claus. He's gonna have wool hair, he's gonna be fires coming out of his eye, he's speaking words of truth. It's going to be destruction. He's going to have a fan in his hand, which is a pitchfork. No pitchforks with a fan. You've seen them. They pick them up. That's what he's going to. So when he comes down, when he picks up the grain, the chaff falls, it's going to burn, but the grain goes in the bin. Just like you do. You don't put the chaff in the bin. You put the grain in the bin. So that grain that he picks up are the believers that he's saving. This to preserve for them. But there, he's going to come by looking like the devil. That's what he's going to look like. And it's going to scare them. And the Antichrist is going to look like... The Antichrist at this time is going to look like the pictures you have in your Bible. The bearded Jesus, his straight beard, and pale, you know, light skin face, and blue eyes, and long hair. That's what people think Jesus looks like. He don't look like that, guys. He was a rabbi. He was a prophet. They had a distinct look with them, okay? If you look at a true rabbi today, he's got a square beard. And his hair is kind of short. He wears, you know, they put a cap on there, and they cut that, his hair all the way around like that, and then they mar it right here. Because you can't, there's only one perfect priest, that's Jesus Christ. But that beard, if you look at them, they got a square beard. They don't have no pointed beard. And it's not sandy red hair. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I will beheld, and I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth his untimely figs, when she is shaken of the mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief chaplains, the captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains of rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see all them people? They're doing exactly what I just mentioned. They're looking up there. Here he comes down to this earth, and they're like, hide us. So when he takes the scroll, you know what a scroll is, like that, he rolls it up, and he dumps them on this earth. He cleanses the heavens up there, and they come here, and all the kings, you see the kings of the earth, he names them, they're like, oh my God, they want to run to the rocks, and they'd rather have the rocks to fall on them, to kill them, for they know the wrath of God is coming. You don't want that wrath. I don't want that wrath. I'm safe from that stuff. And most of the time, this passage is taken out as a reference of second coming Christ, but it's not the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is Revelation 19. The Lord Jesus Christ is not sitting on the throne. He's riding a horse. With me? Here he's sitting on the throne. At the second coming of Christ back to the earth in Revelation 18, the kings of the earth are not hiding, guys. They're not hiding. They're not crying. They're not asking somebody to hide them from the face. They're out there going to fight against him. So there's a lot of things in here. That's why you got to believe your Bible and be a Bible student. Okay? And what you have in Revelation 6, which takes place before the middle week, is the midweek tribulation appearance. The earth becomes conscious that he is up there. You know, right now, today, unless you don't believe a miracle, you know, miraculously, if you don't think God's talking to you audibly, if you don't think, you know, if you don't think there's a God, you don't think there's Jesus Christ, you don't think there's a heaven, God is not talking outside his word today. Okay? You can hear him speak right here in this word. God is not doing miracles today in what he did on this earth. Okay? So with him being gone, people say, oh, there's no heaven, there's no earth, I mean, Jesus Christ, and all that stuff. But you've got to have faith that there is. And a Bible believer will have faith, and they'll understand this, and what's going to happen in here, when in Revelation chapter 9, 6, what we're just talking about, they're going to see this. Listen, the Bible says Jew requires a sign, and Greek seeks after wisdom. Jews always had to have a sign, or they didn't think God was with them. The first sign, Moses sticks his hand in there, comes out like this. He sticks his hand in there again like a baby. He throws his staff down, turns into a snake, picks it back up. That was the first two miracles that Israel, Moses had done and performed in Israel. And ever since then, they required signs. Pillar of smoke, pillar of fire, God sent them manna, all that. So you, if you're being tricked in your mind thinking you're part of that program, you're going to say, think, well, God's got to do this for me before I believe. Seeing is not believing, guys. Seeing is not believing. Let's go to Mark right quick. Go to Mark and I'll try to wrap this up. Mark chapter 14, verse 61. The Lord Christ told them about two different appearances. He told them that he would see him in two different positions when he comes. Mark chapter 14, verse 61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man, this is one, sitting on the right hand of the power. That's exactly what Revelation says, sitting on the throne. And two, coming in the clouds of heaven. So he told them that they're going to see him twice. And they will see him on the throne in the mid-tribulation, Revelation chapter 6. it still fascinates me, guys. Whether you believe it or not, the heavens are going to open up and you're going to see Jesus Christ. They're going to see Jesus Christ sitting on a throne. Now, you and I will be up there. We'll be with him. And the loved ones that's passed, that trusted Christ died for their sins, they're up there now. And they will see him on the throne. And then they will see him coming in the clouds when he comes in Revelation to earth in Revelation 19. Those two appearings are important when you discuss the details of Revelation. And basically what you have is Christ and his ascension in Acts chapter 1. He goes up in heaven into that city, and he's there for a while. And Stephen sees Christ standing, ready to come back out of that city and pour out the wrath. But God interrupts that program, guys. That's why in the book of Acts, it starts out, when will you again restore the kingdom of heaven, all the way down to salvation unto Gentiles. The book of Acts is a transitional book. It's showing you the fall and diminishing of Israel. Don't get your doctrine in there, which many of them do. And he sends far up above all heavens, beyond the universe, and the city goes back up into that universe. And he comes back at the rapture to get us and takes us out into that city where God the Father dwells. See, there's a difference between the catching away, the rapture, and what people believe Matthew 24 speaks of a rapture. When Jesus Christ comes back and takes the body of Christ, he comes back to the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ arise first, and those that remain will be caught up, and he comes to the heaven, he comes to the clouds, and that's where he takes us. He don't come to this earth. He comes to this earth, the second coming, when Israel's on this earth. And in the middle of tribulation, the city comes back down in the universe, and he that sitteth in the heavens laugh. So he's laughing when he comes back in the first and second heaven. He's laughing like, you know, I'm telling you. And then Christ comes out of that city, and there is mid-tribulation appearance. And he's called the son of the Son of Man in Matthew 25. And it's called the ensign in Isaiah 18. I think we saw that. But Michael stands up, getting back to Michael, where it's going on here is God is coming back and beginning to take repossession of that universe. You think Satan's just going to give it up? No. He's not just going to give it up. Next week we'll pick back up in that, right there in Daniel chapter 12. But you've got to remember this, that when you think about how powerful the God of this world is, Satan, you always remember Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus Christ went up and Satan offered him the kingdoms of the world and all that, and you wondered how in the world could he have done that. I thought Jesus Christ was God of this world. Jesus Christ is not God of this world yet. He's going to be Lord of Lord, King of King. It's coming to fruition. But the God of this world had the position and authority that offered that to Jesus Christ if he would bow down to him. And Lord Jesus Christ never did rebuke that or said, no, you're wrong. He never said that. Jesus Christ knew what God Satan is in this world. So what Satan had done, when he offered him, Satan still had the first and second heaven. He was still over the world. But when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ comes out of heaven. He takes the heavens back. Okay? That's purified. Then he focuses on the earth. And that's why when you read Revelation, go through that, it focuses on this earth. And when God's going to burn the earth up, it's going to be burn it up. It's not going to flood it. He doesn't flood the universe once, the earth once. And now it's going to be burnt. Okay? And those, when he's burnt, those that are great white throne of judgment is cast in the lake of fire. That's the second day. They're going to die. They're going to burn forever out there in the universe. God makes new heaven, new earth. New kingdom comes down, new authority. And everybody's going to live glorifying God forever. That's good news, isn't it? You know, if you haven't trusted Christ Jesus died today, that all you have to do is trust that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. You may not understand all the mechanics of that, but I do believe God puts a conscience in every person, and it's always trying to look for God the Creator. And when you hear the Word of God that Christ died for your sin, you see yourself as a sinner, and you need to be saved, and he sent his Son to Calvary, paid that sin debt once and for all. You don't have to keep dying on the cross. You don't have to keep repenting, you know, that type of thing for your salvation. It is settled. And he places you in a body today, and you're going to be with him forever. And then you get in the Word of God, right, divided, and continue to grow that way. Let's go to the Word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for this day. Thank you for the things you have given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. And what a glorious day it is to be living in a time of the Gentiles. And we still have time, as long as we're above this earth, to share the gospel and the grace of God. And see a lost man become saved. And Lord, as we think about things that's going on, let us be mindful of who we are in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Dispensational Bible Church. You can go to our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. If you want to donate to the ministry, we thank you for that. If you want to send us some kind words, we appreciate that too. Whether email or text, you can call me, and also we thank you for that. Next week, We'd be in Ridge Farm, Illinois. Brother Morris Chester's church out there is having one of the oldest Grace School Bible conferences that's been going on for a long, long time. We'll be going out to there, and 99.9% of the we will have the conference live on this channel, Dispensational Bible Church Facebook page. We'll air the conference there with Brother Richard and Brother David and Brother Allen, and Brother Morris will have the messages there. So we hope to see you as we continue our distance learning, distance messages, and we hope to see you this time next week. May the Lord richly bless you in all things.